Welcome to Two Guys, Three Consoles. My name's Matt Leach, also known as the Leach Man, and with me is my co-host, Jeremy Fowler, also known as J-Monster. Hey, J-Monster, hello. How have you been?
Not so bad. Yourself?
Not too bad. Not too bad at all, thank you.
Good man.
This is actually our second episode, so we're glad to be recording it, because it's been a while for us, probably not for you guys, but it's been a while for us. So this is, we're enjoying in doing this, aren't we? So,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah. We've got some news, gaming news. Yep. Do you want to start, J-Monster, and with a piece of news that you've got?
Yeah. So the only one I've got this week is Sony have apparently cancelled a Horizon massively multiplayer online game and also a God of War live service game.
Wow.
Don't know how far along development I've got. Don't think they've even got.
That's because, Concord failed so miserably?
Potentially, but apparently Sony had about 12 live service games in development at one point. Whether they still do, I don't know. I know that Bungie is still doing Marathon, which is like a remake of one of their previous games.
That was on the Mac. That released on the Mac originally.
Yeah, and that's a live service, but that's like a PvP only. So that's still coming. But yeah, I don't think they ever even got to stage where they announced either the Horizon MMO or the God of War live service game. But they've both apparently been cancelled somewhere along the way and we'll never see a release.
It's a shame, isn't it? I mean, the when I think of live service games, I think of Destiny.
Yeah.
And Destiny 2.
Yeah.
And that's about it.
Right.
There are other live service games. Like, I never played Overwatch. That's something I never played.
No.
I was interested in it, but I don't like scheduling a time when I have to be in front of my console.
Yeah.
And that's what you have to do with these things. You have to do the daily challenges and the weekly challenges and all that.
Yeah, like I played Destiny and Destiny 2, and it basically takes over your life.
Yeah.
And I had a group of friends that I played with every week on, like, I think at one point it was a Sunday night, then we changed it to Thursday. And I played up to and included in the final shape, which was like the end of the major story arc that's been like 10 years in the making. Mm-hmm. That was June, I think, last year, and I played up to and including that and did a little tiny bit of the end game that came in with the final shape, and then I've just stopped, and the guys I was playing with are still, I think they're still on the treadmill, still going.
Yeah.
Still playing.
I mean, some people, it's a bit like, the most ultimate example is World of Warcraft, when that first came out 20 years ago?
Yeah, like 2004, I reckon.
Yeah, but more than 20 years then. So I was interested at the time because I played World of Warcraft 2.
Right.
I think I played 3 as well. And I was like, I'm interested in this because it's a MMORPG, so you can play with friends. But then I realized if I started playing that game, that would be the only game that I would play. And I wouldn't play anything else. So I never played it.
it ends up taking over a little bit and you don't really play a lot of other games.
No. That's why I stay away from these live service games, really, because I feel like a bit like Fortnite. I think I've only played like 2 matches of Fortnite, and I didn't enjoy what I played, so I didn't bother with it. Yeah, Sony obviously think they've not got
a lot of faith.
Sony think they haven't got a lot of money to be made in these live service projects, which is ultimately why they cancelled it.
Yeah,
which is a shame for the people who are obviously developing it.
Mm. I mean, Concord developers, they've been dissolved, haven't they? Their studio's been closed now.
Yeah, which is the ultimate thing, really. The developers closing their doors after a quote-unquote failure of nobody played it. So it wasn't worth their time. They put so much money into it, though. It must have been a massive loss for them and the developers, and ultimately lost their jobs. So,
well, apparently it was in the works for like 7 or 8 years before it finally came out.
They only gave it 2 weeks. They gave it 2 weeks, and then they pulled the plug.
Yeah, after 2 weeks.
So obviously these ones that they've cancelled are, you know, far along enough in development where they're, you know, probably got a reasonable thing to play, but not good enough. They just decided to pull the plug.
Yeah.
It's just a shame. Maybe they'll bring out something else to fill that gap that they, or maybe they won't. Maybe they'll completely ditch life service. I don't know.
Yeah,
it's a difficult one, isn't it? With Destiny still being popular, maybe.
I mean, from what I understand, since I stopped playing, Destiny 2 has dropped off a cliff. It was about 350,000 player base across all platforms when I stopped. And it's dwindled down to 12,000 last time I heard. And that's on Steam, PlayStation, and Xbox.
Wow.
So yeah. I wasn't the only one who stopped after Final Shape, it seems.
No. People are looking for that next big thing, which they'll come along. Because they're not making a Destiny 3, are they?
No, there was rumours at one point that they were, but they've apparently come out and silenced that rumour to say that it's not in active development. It's not something they're doing.
And moved on to the marathon game that you were talking about earlier.
Well, I mean, I think they're trying to make them side by side. I think they're still supposed to be, like, Destiny has moved from the seasonal package that it had before into, like, episodes. And you only get 3 episodes a year, apparently. But from what I was hearing before I stopped, the episodes didn't sound like they were going to be bigger and enough to sort of keep you going for longer than a season would do. So I don't really know.
Yeah.
What have you got for news this week?
So a bit of breaking news. Ninja Gaiden 4 announced, which is surprising, given Ninja Gaiden 3 wasn't a great game.
It was also like over 10 years ago, wasn't it?
Yeah. I think I played it on PS3. Yeah.
Here's a weird one. Do you know Ninja Gaiden 3 came out on, wasn't it a Wii U game initially?
Yes, it did. Yes, I think it did, yeah. Because
did it get ported to Xbox and PlayStation after the Wii U version?
Do you believe it did? Yes, I think you're correct. Yeah. That's correct. Because I played the original, the original 3D Ninja Gaiden on the original Xbox.
Yeah.
It was my first taste of a Team Ninja game, and oh my God, it was so hard.
Yeah, well, I mean, they're just hard games in general, aren't they?
Yeah, it was so hard, that first one. I made it to the end, I completed it, but
oh nice. My
God, those first few bosses were, you had to get to grip with the controls and be really good at it.
Yeah.
It really made you focus. And then Ninja Gaiden 2 was good. It wasn't quite as hard as the first one, which wasn't a disappointment, but it was good enough. But Ninja Gaiden 3, they just like watered it down, and it was you could basically just breeze through it if you knew what you were doing. So I am excited for a Ninja Gaiden 4. Team Ninja games, I've enjoyed. The only game I haven't enjoyed in them was Wolong.
Fallen Dynasty or something?
Yeah, I've played about 2 hours of it. I was just bored. I was so bored. I found it really boring.
Was it on Game Pass?
I think it was on Game Pass, but before Game Pass, I bought it for the PlayStation 5.
Right.
And then it came out on Game Pass. I was like, oh well.
Well, I didn't play it, but from what I understand, that's the game where the first boss is the hardest boss in the whole game, apart from the final boss.
Right.
And so a bunch of people got to the first boss, were like, fuck this, and sacked it off and never went any further because it's so ridiculously difficult. It's like a massive difficulty spike on the first boss.
Yeah, I did beat the first boss, so I made it past that. But I just found the whole mechanics of the game really, really tedious compared to something like Neo and Neo 2, which were really good.
Yeah, so we played Neo, like, I've got a group of guys I play online games with, like, every Sunday night these days. There's, like, 4 of us. And when there was just 3 of us still, we played through Neo 2. And it was about, I think, 6 weeks it took us in total to finish it. And the main thing I remember about that game is that however hard the last boss was, it wasn't as hard as the Spider Cow. And the Spider Cow boss, we got stuck on for, like, 3 weeks or something.
Yeah. Because the final boss isn't the hardest boss in that game.
No, it's bizarre.
Yeah, there's some really good bosses in Neo 2 and in Neo as well. I'm surprised they haven't made a Neo 3.
I played a little of the first one. Didn't play that much of it.
Yeah. Ninja Gaiden 4. Looking forward to that one. Yeah.
So I think I rented, which was a long ago, so it was, from Love Film before Amazon bought them and eventually turned them into, like, you know, Amazon Live, whatever you want to call it, their video service. But I used to Love Film when they actually sent you physical discs through the post, and they did games as well as films. And I rented Ninja Gaiden 3 for the Wii U from them, having never really played much of them particularly before, got my ass kicked by it, and then got a mate from work who was into it and had played the first 2 on Xbox to come around and give me a hand and show me what to do. And even after he showed me he was really good at it, unsurprisingly, but I still wasn't that great at it. And I think I sent it back without finishing it. So I couldn't really give my opinion on whether it was watered down, like you said, because I've never really played the first two to understand.
It was compared to the first two, yeah. Sorry about that.
No, that's all right.
But yeah, it's a new game, a new Ninja Gaiden 4. Looking forward to that one. So
a new protagonist as well, apparently. Not what's his
new
name?
What, Ryu,
the new protagonist in
Ryu, instead of Ryu Hayabusa.
Yeah. Because he was
the main
character for the first three, wasn't he? But it's apparently not him this time.
No, it's someone else.
And it's Michelle in, is it Autumn this year?
Yeah, it said Autumn, yeah. Or, you know, our American cousins like to call it the fall, don't they?
Fall, yeah.
So, yeah. Hmm. Let's move on to what we've been playing. I think I'm going to go for this first for this one, because I've got quite a few that I've been playing. I finished a game, restarted a game and finished a game and platinumed the game called Twin Mirror.
Right.
So this is from the same developer of Vampire, Banishers, Ghosts of New Eden, Don't Nod, and the Life is Strange games. Really enjoyed it. It's not the greatest game. Mechanics-wise, the main character's a bit stilted. That was one of the criticisms. It came out a few years ago. I think I bought it in 2022 for like £5.
And on PS5.
On the PSN when it was on the sale.
Yeah.
So, I did play it for a couple of hours, like nearly three years ago, and I decided I was going to... It's not a long game. It only took me 5 hours to complete it, which isn't long. And then you have to do two playthroughs to get the platinum.
Okay.
Spoilers for this game if you haven't played it. So forward a few minutes.
Just forward like, three or four minutes.
If you don't want to listen to the spoiler. Basically, the gimmick in this game is you have a mind palace, a bit like Alan Wake 2, if you played that game, where he goes in and analyzes stuff using his mind palace.
Right.
And you have a twin in this, as in it's your imaginary twin. And his name's just called Him, as in H-I-M.
Okay.
So the main character is called Sam, but his twin mirror twin is called Him. So So it starts off with a murder of your best friend called Nick, and you've been away from this town that you've been brought up in called Basswood.
Basswood. Okay.
So you wrote an article a couple of years previously, which closed the town. Mine, which was the lifeblood of the town, so you're not very popular, and you've come back for your friend's Nick's funeral, and so you go back and you stop off just before you get to the funeral, and you go into the mind palace for the first time. Go into the mind palace, and you do that. There's like a tutorial at the beginning of the game, and it's an investigation game. You find out why your friend was, you don't know your friend was murdered at this point. You think it was an accident, but he was actually murdered.
Right.
And you go through the game, you meet up with your ex-girlfriend, and you investigate with her, walk around to various locations in the town, gathering information, going into your mind palace, and solving things. And there's four different endings. And for the platinum, you have to get all different endings, which I got. The mechanics, it's a third person walk around investigation game. It's similar to it's kind of a mashup between, I would say, like Walking Dead, you know, the Telltale games, where you're walking around investigating stuff to progress.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of where it's coming from. You have the conversation choices throughout the game that you can make. And you also have five or six separate choices which directly impact the endings.
Right.
So that's how you play the game. So yeah, I've been playing that. Got the platinum, which turned out to be my. Well, we'll do that in platinum.
Yes, we'll
do that in a minute. Yeah, and I've also been playing Lego Horizon Adventures.
All right.
This is the Lego game that's based on Horizon Zero Dawn.
Yeah. You've been playing this on the Switch or the PlayStation?
I've got it on the PlayStation. On the PlayStation 5. It's boring. The game's boring.
Oh. Have you played many Lego games?
I played a lot of Lego games. I played nearly all of them on PlayStation.
Is it not the same as the previous ones? Or?
So the previous one that I played to this was Lego Star Wars, the Skywalker Saga, which was also boring. You wouldn't think of Star Wars. Yeah. the games that I've enjoyed, Lego games, are Lego The Hobbit, Lego Lord of the Rings, Lego Jurassic World, Lego Incredibles. Those are the ones I can remember off the top of my head. Mm-hmm. So this one, it looks amazing. Like the actual graphics look like real Lego. Mm. And it's the plus to that, but the actual gameplay is so boring. You just go into a level, you just defeat the machines, and you get a gold brick, and you
collect
just
all the little studs and
just rinse and repeat.
Yeah,
there's no kind of strategy to it. There's no kind of challenge to it, unless you bump up the difficulty to mega hard, I suppose. Which I suppose I couldn't do. Might be a bit more of a challenge. I will finish it.
Okay.
But it's not a very interesting game, unfortunately. No. Even though it's based on a really good IP like Horizon, yeah. And enjoyed both those games. So yeah, I wouldn't have bought it. I'm glad I borrowed it and then bought it.
Yeah.
Put it that way. I've also been playing, I'll touch on it briefly because I'll let you speak about it more, Donkey Kong Country Returns HD.
Yep.
Which you very kindly lent me.
Now you can have it.
Oh, I even have it. Excellent. That's good news.
Well, I've got a digital copy. It was taking a week for Royal Mail to get it to me, and after about 6 days of waiting, I caved and downloaded it.
Don't blame you. I played a couple of levels, and as I was playing it, do you know what stood out to me the most?
What?
The loading screen with the clouds. I'm like, I've played this game before, and I realised I played it on the Wii.
Right.
I'd forgotten that I played it on the Wii when it first came out.
15 years ago.
Yeah, I was going to say, was it 2010? It was 2010, wasn't it?
Came out, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It was one of the first games I got on Wii that I got for myself. Mm-hmm. And I remembered that was one of the first ones that I got, because I remember shaking the controller when he bangs on the ground. You have to shake the controller.
I never played the Wii version. Apparently, you had to shake the Wiimote to make him roll as well.
That's right, yeah, yeah. Because as I was playing it on the Switch, because I played it handheld, which I've actually got a problem with my Switch, the left Joy-Con doesn't seem to attach to my Switch properly anymore.
Oh.
Which is no good. I'll probably play it with the Pro Controller anyway. It'd be fine.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've been playing a little bit of that. I've only played literally a couple of levels and that's it. So I'll move on to what else I've been playing, which I've played a bit more of. I keep going back to is the Yakuza Like a Dragon.
All right, yeah.
Played a couple of hours out this week. I played Yakuza Kiwami, which is a remake of the original Yakuza.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that game. And I played a couple of games called Judgment and Lost Judgment, which was with a different character, but set in the same area of Tokyo.
Yeah.
You have a private detective in that. They were really good games. So I started, this came on, was free on PS Plus like a couple of years ago, and I downloaded it, and I keep going back to it and playing a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more, because it's turn-based combat, which I know you're not that fond of.
Yeah, it's not for me.
No, but I do quite enjoy it because it's like crazy Japanese stuff. You know, they do all sorts of shit in it. Then you go on side adventures and you can go and play the original Sega Outrun in the arcade machines and Virtua Fighter and all sorts of stuff. So, yeah, it's pretty good. So that's what I've been playing. What have you been playing?
So I have just literally before we started recording this, finished Mass Effect 3 again. Spoilers, I guess, for a 12-year-old game. Did the Destroy ending. Didn't manage to, I did it better than the last time I played Mass Effect. I think I mentioned before that when I was doing Mass Effect 2, Morden died on my very first playthrough in the suicide mission last time around. So I kept him alive to have his payoff in the third game. But this time, I think I missed one of the side quests or something you need to do to broker the peace between the Quarians and the Geth. So when I got Legion to upload the, was it the file? He uploads something to give him proper sentience and to be able to think for themselves. And the Quarians are attacking them at the time, and you have to try and use your Paragon or Renegade to get her to call off the fleet so that all the Quarians don't die. And it didn't give me that option. I didn't even get to pick it to try and stop that from happening because I'd missed. There's certain things you have to do to get that option to pop, and I missed one side quest.
It's a combination of conversation choices, isn't it?
Yeah, and there's this side quest for fighter squadrons or something. I think I missed it somehow. I didn't even get the option to talk her down or get her to talk the fleet down. So then she jumps off the edge of a cliff. So Tali died. I didn't have the Quarians on my side for the big battle at the end because they all died to the Geth because they wouldn't call off the attack. So that was a bit of a shame. Yeah. So definitely not a perfect playthrough, but still enjoyed playing through that again. And then, yeah, I say I've also been playing Donkey Kong Country Returns HD, which I never played first time round. I think I did play a little tiny bit of it on 3DS. I think I got it for free.
When did the 3DS version come out?
Like 2014 or 13.
Right. So it wasn't that long after the Wii version, a few years
later. No, yeah. It was only like 3 or 4 years later. So I think I got that one free. They had some sort of promotion thing where if you bought a certain number of 3DS games, they would give you one for free. I think they did the same sort of thing on the Wii U at one point as well, because the Wii U was floundering. They were trying to get more people interested in the Wii U. So yeah, I got it for free on the 3DS and didn't, because it was free, I guess, I didn't really pay that much attention to it. Played it a little bit and then sort of moved on. But the one thing I've really noticed from playing the Switch version this time for the HD one they just released is that Donkey Kong feels a lot heavier than I'm used to a platform game character controlling, like if you're used to like Mario games,
yeah,
they don't control the same way as Mario would do.
No, he's definitely got some weight to him.
And I didn't realize apparently there's a bit of backlash because you can't play as just Diddy, but you get Diddy on your back.
Yeah, I pressed the button to swap to Diddy and it wouldn't let me. I'm like, why isn't it letting me do that?
So I mean, that's something you could do in the original trilogy that Rare made, but apparently you can't do it in this one. And
I think,
people,
I'm trying to remember the Wii version now. I think that was the same in the Wii version.
Yeah,
right. Yeah.
And people have even been starting like 2-player games to try and play as Diddy, but then just doing one character and just letting the other character die straight away or something like that. I don't know.
Right. Okay.
So yeah, from what I've played of Donkey Kong Country Returns so far, it's good. I like it. It's hard. I mean, I shouldn't really be surprised. They're hard games in general. And you're saying about how hard Tropical Freeze is.
Tropical Freeze. Is the one
So I'm only on like, I think I'm on like World 2 or World 3. I recently did a couple of levels that stood out a bit. There's one with like an octopus in the background and he keeps like slapping his tentacles forward, so his tentacles become like a obstacle in the foreground where you are while he's in the background.
Yeah.
And there's also one where there's a pirate ship shooting cannonballs at you for basically the whole level.
Yeah.
So
I remember the last world or the last few levels, and it's coming back to me now, were really quite difficult.
I also saw with one that you were sat on a rocket for like
of
the level.
That yes.
And you've got like your modern mode and your classic mode, and the classic mode is how it was originally on the Wii.
Yeah.
And then modern mode gives you 3 hearts instead of the 2 that you start with in classic mode. And then also the items to buy in the shop are a bit cheaper in modern mode.
Yeah.
You can get more from the banana coins than you could do originally.
Yeah. I want you to try the modern mode. I've tried. That's the mode I've gone for.
Yeah, that's what I'm playing on.
What's different compared to the original? Yeah.
I think it's just a bit more accessible and a bit more sort of friendly. The classic mode sounds a bit brutal.
Yeah, I played it on the Wii originally. You know, it's like when I played Metroid Prime Remastered recently. You know, they really did such a good job with that. Mm-hmm. You know, in regards to what the Wii version and the original GameCube version was even like.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's why I wanted to play the modern interpretation of this game. That's kind of what pushed me towards that decision.
I mean, I don't think it's Retro that's done this remaster, is it?
I don't think so, no. It's somebody else.
Yeah, not heard them before. And apparently there's a bit of hoo-ha because Nintendo have removed Retro's names from the credits.
Yes.
Only the new people who've done the port who are in the credits now.
It's a bit unfair, isn't it?
Yeah.
You should credit the original creators of the game. Yeah. Nintendo can be funny like that. They have some weird, wacky ideas, and sometimes they pull it off, and sometimes they don't, like the Wii U.
Yeah.
So we've got a new section. I don't know if we're going to do this every week. Platinum Watch.
Yep.
I guess it's only really is for me. Really, you don't get that many platinum.
Well, before you get onto your bit, because the main focus is you, I'm just going to say I've got 6 now.
Hey, what's your 6 platinum then?
I use the same strategy that I did for Ninja Turtles Cowabunga Collection on the Xbox to do it on the PlayStation. I mean, I already had the PlayStation version from way back at launch. I only bought the Xbox version recently. But yeah, I realized that having done it on Xbox, I could also do that on PlayStation and get myself another Platinum. So I went back to it and did that.
Awesome. Well done.
I mean, well, the fighting game bits of that are the hardest bit.
Yeah. No question. I can only imagine, because, you know, there's certain ways you've got to achieve certain things to get the trophy, yeah, don't you?
Yeah. Yeah. Like on the Mega Drive version especially, you have to beat the last boss on the hardest difficulty level, which is easier said than done.
Yeah. Well, we did that boss together, didn't we, I think? And, well, you ended up killing him, I think.
Yeah.
Because I died.
You're talking about on Shredder's Revenge, yeah.
Yeah, Shredder's, sorry, that's a different one, isn't it? Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
The same genre.
Yeah. But confused those games, there's so many of them.
But yes, I have now got 6, but you have now got...
I've got 150. Yeah. So I've got 2 more since the last time. Mm. I got the Banishers one, which took so long. Mm-hmm. So long. But it was good. I enjoyed getting the Platinum. And then I got the Platinum for Twin Mirror. That was my 150th Platinum.
It's pretty good.
Yeah. Will I be getting any more? Probably. Will it be soon? Who knows?
Probably not, yeah.
So this might not be a weekly feature. It really depends on if either of us can get a Platinums or if we're bothered about getting Platinums or what.
Yeah.
But I stuck it in for this second episode because it's a bit of fun, isn't it? It which leads us nicely into Retro Corner. I'll let you go first on this one.
Okay, so my choice this week was F-Zero GX, which released on the GameCube in 2003. And it's an interesting one because it was made by Amusement Vision, which are part of Sega, but published by Nintendo because it's a Nintendo IP. So it's the first game I can ever remember seeing. You boot it up and you get the Sega and Nintendo logos side by side on the screen at the same time.
I wonder how much they had to negotiate that, what the conversations were for that.
Oh, yeah. Being an 80s/90s kid, seeing those two logos side by side on the screen at the same time, I remember being a kind of mind-blowing moment a bit for me. Absolutely. Back then. It was like, wow, how much we've moved on from back in the day. But I mean, to touch on F-Zero a little bit, I didn't really play the SNES version straight away. I think I played it a lot later, but I did eventually play it. And then played the N64 version, F-Zero X, which is one of the very few N64 games I remember having it run to 60 frames a second. And it's got 4-player. I mean, the 4-player mode doesn't run at 60 frames per second. It takes a bit of a hit in 4-player and drops down to 30. But if you play it in single player, it does run at 60. And then the GameCube version is the last home console version they've really done, apart from this, was it F-Zero 99 they did recently?
Yeah.
Which is kind of like based on the SNES original, but with online multiplayer added in. So there's hope now that they might release a new version of F-Zero on the Switch 2, or even a port of F-Zero GX, but it runs like a flawless 60 frames a second. And I remember at the time thinking it was the fastest racing game I'd ever played back then.
I think it was faster. You remember the original Wipeout for the PlayStation 1?
I do.
I can't remember if that was 60 frames per second. It might have been.
I'm not sure.
Maybe not. But was F-Zero GX the one where you could take your save game from the arcade cabinet and you could bring it home with you?
So there's some tracks that you can unlock. I've never found the arcade cabinet. Apparently there's only 100 of them in the world these days. So the likelihood of me finding one, very slim.
Most of them probably in North America, I'm guessing.
Possibly, or Japan, or I don't know. But there's a slot on the arcade machine for a GameCube memory card. So if you had one and you had a copy of the game, you could take it in with you, plug it into the arcade machine, and it would then unlock some of the arcade tracks to be played on your GameCube when you took it back home again.
Wow.
It's also got a crazily difficult story mode. I don't think I've ever finished story mode, even on normal difficulty, it's that hard.
Yeah. I think I did play it back on the GameCube. I had a copy of it, but it was so... those later races just got so insanely hard.
Yeah. No, it's definitely very, very difficult. But it's good fun, and I remember that recently, but in the past, when we've had like gaming days where we've had like a retro room and a modern room, it usually got played in the retro room. There's enough people in there and people wanted to play it.
Yeah.
You see, it's really good fun. I would love them to bring F-Zero back in some way, shape, or form for the Switch 2, but whether they actually do remains to be seen. I mean, there's like been indie games of people trying to take up the mantle. There was Fast Racing Neo on the Wii U. Was then renamed Fast RMX on the Switch, and it's basically a spiritual successor to F-Zero. F-Zero and everything but name,
yeah,
but made by an indie team and was sold for like, I don't know, 25 quid or something. It definitely wasn't a full price game, and it was, I think the one I got was download, and I think they did release a very limited like physical, but it's crazy hard to find it. And the last time I looked it up online, it was like 100 quid for a copy on disc.
Yeah.
So you're not getting that anytime soon. So whether Nintendo actually do bring it back in some way, shape or form remains to be seen. Now, I don't think it was ever the biggest seller.
No, it didn't sell massively, I don't think, did it? But no. Yeah. I always remember it's been one of the really like impressive looking games on the GameCube when I played it back in the day.
Yeah, so mine
is Daley Thompson's Decathlon on the Amstrad CPC 464. This was my first sports game, I think, based on an actual person. Some of the younger people who might be listening to this don't know who Daley Thompson is. He was a famous athlete, British athlete in the 80s, who did the decathlon in the 1984 LA Olympics.
That long? Wow.
Yeah. That's one where Whitney Houston released a single that the Olympic Commission got someone to write it for, and she sang it. I can't remember the name of it now, it escapes me, maybe it'll come back to me. But Daley Thompson's Decathlon had all the 10 events, like the pole vault and the long jump and the 100 meters and the 500 meters and the 1,000 meters, all the basically events that Daley Thompson did in the Olympics. He had a version of it on the Amstrad. And
was it a button masher a la track and field?
It was for the race stuff, but yeah. Things like the pole vault and the long jump, yeah, it's a timing thing. You had to get your power up and then press the button and then make sure you press it at the right time at the right place, otherwise you just completely fail the event. Right. So they also did the swimming. I think there was a swimming in there as well. I think there was a swimming in there. It's been a long time since I played it, but I really enjoyed playing it. I think it was the first kind of sports type game that I played. Mm-hmm. I think the one after that was California Games.
Right, yeah.
Which was based on, I don't know if they're still going, but that's where you had to do events like the Hacky Sack and that kind of stuff.
So, but yeah. Thompson, did you say it was on the Amstrad?
Amstrad, I think it was on Spectrum. May have been on, I think it was on Commodore 64.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of the first games I played on my Amstrad, I think. Because I think it came with the Amsoft stuff, which was like Harrier Attack and Oh Mummy and all these different Amstrad games that they developed. So this was the first game that I played that was like a program specifically around the Olympics and Daley Thompson's events. And I remember enjoying it quite a lot. I think I did complete them all. I didn't get that good at it because those do you remember, you know, what we've got now? We've got controllers, but using a joystick back in the day, waggling it back and forth, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Amstrad's like a joystick with one button as well.
Yeah, I think it was it one two. Or two? I think it might have been two, actually, yeah. Because they even used joysticks on the Amiga as well. That's before they brought out the CD32, which had an actual controller.
Right.
Yeah, Amigas. I never got one of those. But,
no, I mean, the CD32 was a CD based, wasn't it?
Basically, it was an Amiga 1200 board, but with a CD player attached to it.
Mm-hmm. So I never actually saw one of those in the flesh.
It on like the gaming shows at the time.
Like Games Master.
Or the Ozone. That wasn't really a gaming thing. It was a music thing, but sometimes they bring on gaming consoles.
Yeah. Bad Influence, you ever watch that?
Yes, Bad Influence. Yeah, that's the one I was thinking of.
And then Sky had Games World, which was on every night at weekday nights at 6, I remember. And it would be a different show, like every night, had a different sort of theme or show. I remember they had live ones on the Monday and Friday.
Yeah.
And then, what's her name? It was Jet from Gladiators. Was it Diane Udale?
That's the one.
She was Games Mistress. It was basically their excuse to stick her in leather and stick her on the camera because they knew that gamers would like that.
Of course.
In the same way that Game Master used to give tips, she would like lie on the bed and give tips to people that wanted them for particular games.
Yeah, the retro stuff. So yeah. So I think we're going to talk about the main event, which happened in the last week, which is the Switch 2.
Yes.
It's official. It exists. Mm-hmm. We had a little video, 2-minute video.
Yes, 2 minutes, 22 seconds. Not really into the whole 2 thing at all.
They didn't. I've seen a few analysis videos of it, but this is my take on it. It definitely looks more Switch.
Yeah.
You can't blame him for that. A bit bigger. Joy-Cons look sturdier.
Mm-hmm.
It's obviously got more power under the hood.
Joy-Cons attached via magnets now.
Yeah, via magnets. And I'm not sure about this, but a couple of people have said that they, it looks like the Joy-Cons can be used as mice.
Yeah, I've seen. Hint at it.
Yeah, there's nothing confirmed yet, is there? I'm not 100% on that.
I mean, it's also meant to be about as powerful as either a PS4 or a PS4 Pro, which again is not confirmed.
No.
But it's supposed to use DLSS to res to 4K when it's played on your telly.
The only thing I'm not really concerned about is the original Switch cramps my hands.
Right, yeah.
In handheld mode. And so I had to get, I've got a special like thing that it clips into so it doesn't cramp my hands.
Yeah.
Will the Switch 2 be worse for that? I don't know.
No, hopefully not if it's a bit bigger.
Yeah, maybe if it's a bit bigger, it won't be as crampy on the hands.
Rumors that the screen is 1080p this time.
Yeah.
Which makes me wonder about battery life, because the Steam Deck is infamous for having like a terrible battery life of like an hour or so. I hope that. Also, having seen a friend of mine has got a Steam Deck and it's not portable, it's a massive thing. Yeah. And he showed me the case he's got for it as well. I was like, are you supposed to take that on a plane? It's not portable to take places. But anyway, I'm digressing. Yeah, the only game they showed in the very short video for Switch 2, Freudian slip, is presumably Mario Kart 9.
Yeah, which I didn't realize it was 9 until someone said. I thought it was just, I assumed it was 8 Deluxe. That was my assumption.
And then also eagle-eyed people have spotted that there's 24 spaces on the starting line at the beginning instead of 12 like there is in 8 or 8 Deluxe. So if it is 24 player, that's going to be absolute bedlam.
Can you imagine going from like first to 23rd in the last lap?
Yeah.
You'd be gutted, wouldn't you?
But also, what if like everyone from like 17th back is getting like blue shells? It's just going to be crazy.
Can you imagine? It's going to be crazy. It's going to be, I'm looking forward to playing first match on that online, see how it goes.
Yeah.
I do like the Mario Karts. I became an absolute master on the original SNES version.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I used to play at uni with me and my mates. We played it in the shared house that we had. Nobody could beat me.
Right.
No, they all tried. Nobody could beat me. That's my claim to fame.
I played it as a kid. I'm not sure I was ever that great at it, but I did play it.
No, I got really good at it. The SNES version. Nobody could beat me. Which the Mario Kart 8, I can't win against my daughter. She beats me every time. She's really good.
Nice.
So the tables have turned there. But as for the Switch 2, did you see somebody said there's a Yoshi Burger house on the track that they were playing where his snout is the burger.
All right.
Yeah, which I didn't realize. I went back and watched it. Yeah, no, it's like a modeled on Yoshi's head and his little snout is just the burger, which is quite funny.
That's cool.
But looking forward to more information, but 2nd of April, 2nd of April.
Yeah.
Information, which is
Nintendo Direct.
Seems like a long time away, doesn't it?
Yeah. It's about purely the Switch 2.
Yeah.
So hopefully we'll get like a release date, a price, some more.
What do you reckon? 400 quid?
Well, the rumor was 350, which I would like, but I think it's probably going to be at least 400.
I think 400 is that would be my guess.
Yeah.
Are they going to make a new Pro controller? I bet they are, aren't they?
Presumably, yeah.
just to make me spend more money.
I was saying, Nintendo do like to sell you the same things over and over, so probably.
But yeah, it would definitely be. My Switch, I've had it. I bought it in September 2017. That's when I got mine. Did you buy yours launch?
I did get mine at launch, yeah.
Yeah, so that'll be 7 years old in a couple of months.
Yeah, it always would be 8 years old in a couple of years.
Yeah, you're right. So yeah.
Yeah, 2017.
Yeah, wow.
So my launch one is still hanging on somehow. I mean, he's had some hammer, but it's hanging on.
Like I said, my left Joy-Con it started to drift, and even though it's fully charged, it sometimes won't connect, which is a bit weird.
I'm not on my original Joy-Cons. My original ones died quite some time ago, and I've had two different friends try and fix the drift on the left Joy-Con of my original ones, and it's still knackered now, even after both of them had a go at it. I mean, it did, when they gave it back to me, it worked again for a little bit, but then the drift came back again.
Yeah, notorious, isn't it?
Yeah, I've just sort of given up on it now and bought some new ones. And yep. I think I've got like orange and purple at the moment, which I don't really like the colours, but the orange and purple ones are like 55 quid for a pair, as opposed to like, was it 75 or something for a pair of normal? I mean, they are official Nintendo ones, but they were a bit cheaper because of the pricing.
Yeah.
So I put up with buying the colours I didn't really like just to get them for 20 quid off.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, I'm still with the original Joy-Con, so I've done pretty well, I suppose.
Yeah, you have.
Just over 7 years ago, so they're not as much. I got a Pro Controller within 3 months of buying the Switch, so that's Pro Controller has done really well.
Yeah, I've got two. I've got a Splatoon Pro Controller that's like green and pink, and standard black one, and both of them are doing fine. They also have really good battery life. The Pro Controllers,
they last ages.
Yeah, you get like 25 to 30 hours.
Yeah,
which the PS5 controllers would last as long as that.
Oh, I mean, I've replaced one of the batteries in my PS5 controllers because the original battery in it only lasted 30 minutes.
Wow,
and that was from new, so I ordered a kit off Amazon and did it myself. I need to do it to the other one now because that's only lasted an hour before it dies.
Wow,
so yeah.
I've got three PS5 pads, and the original one that came with the launch machine, again, has got stick drift. It's not very much use these days. It doesn't get much use anymore. The other two I've got are still doing fine.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
But why are these modern controllers susceptible to stick drift? Although I've never heard about it on an Xbox controller, have you?
I mean, I've had it happen to me on an Xbox controller, but you don't hear about it that often. I think it's something to do with the materials you use to make modern controllers is somehow more fallible to drifting than what they used to be.
Yeah. But
I never had an Xbox 360 pad drift. I had like three or four of them and none of them drifted after like 10 years of use or so.
I don't remember the PS3 having any drift on the DualShock 3s either. The DualShock 4s, I had one which had stick drift on it.
Right.
Only one that was the original one that came with the PlayStation 4, which died eventually.
Right, yeah.
But DualShock 5s are expensive.
They are, like 60, 70 quid, aren't they?
Yeah, I looked for one at Christmas. I was going to buy myself one, 65 quid. I'm like, no, I'm not buying that.
No, wait until you really, really need one. But yeah, the rumour for the Switch 2 release is allegedly going to be June.
Interesting. Summer release, yeah. I mean, that would make sense because they announced the original Switch in October.
Yeah.
2016, it came out in the March.
Yeah, in 2017,
So that's 5 months between announcement and launch. So that seemed about right, wouldn't it?
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they'll wait till Christmas. It'd be
too
long to wait for that.
Yeah. I'll be very surprised as well if there's not another Mario.
It's got to be coming, isn't it? A 3D Mario, it's got to be. Definitely. Maybe Super Mario Odyssey 2?
Possibly, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe even better, Super Mario Galaxy 3.
Wow,
Please, Nintendo, because I liked the original so much.
Yeah, I think the Galaxy games are quite well loved.
Not Super Mario Sunshine 2, though. We don't need that.
Probably not, no, but that's kind of like the black sheep, isn't it? It's in the 3D All-Stars collection thing, but I don't think they'll do a sequel to it anytime soon.
No, it's got to be in the works, though. But I enjoyed Odyssey, so if they're doing Odyssey 2,
yeah, no, I enjoyed Odyssey.
I'm not averse to that, yeah.
Played the whole, I think it took me about 25 hours what I did, and I finished it, but I didn't collect all of the moons.
No, I didn't collect all the moons either.
And there's only like 300 and something moons.
It's ridiculous amount. Crazy amount. I wonder if they'll like release like an upgraded version of Breath of the Wild and Tears of the Kingdom.
Well, again, they're rumoured for Switch 2.
Yeah, which is Switch 2 specific. Which I wouldn't mind playing through those games again. Mind you, what? I put 150 hours into Tears of the Kingdom.
Wow.
And then when I finished, I thought, I wonder what my percentage is of what I've explored. 52%.
Yeah.
After 150 hours.
I did 115 hours in Breath of the Wild, like you say, you get your completion rating at the end. I got 15%.
Wow.
115 hours. I know someone who did 350 hours in Breath of the Wild, and he only got 80%.
80? Wow. Yeah. There's a lot in those games, isn't there?
There are, but there's like a weird thing where everything that counts towards your completion rating is things that are numbered.
Right.
So I spent at least a week in Breath of the Wild doing a thing, a side quest line, where you help a guy build a village up from nothing into a full village, and you have to do umpteen quests to help him build the village.
Yep.
And then I later learned that that didn't count toward my completion rating at all.
Oh, it's not numbered. So it wasn't a waste of time because you enjoyed doing it, right?
Yeah. But yeah, it's like only numbered things count towards your completion rating. So that's things like what's the little things you have to find that is 900 and something of
rupees.
Well, no, that's the currency. The little collectible thing in Breath of the Wild.
Can't remember now. It's so long since I played it.
They're basically little poos, but that's not really called in the game.
The little leaf things.
Yeah,
I can't remember the name of them. But no, I know what you mean.
I think it's like 900 and something in the game.
900.
And I had 64. Yeah. Which is a good number. Like, I remember getting 64 and being like, well, that seems apt. I'm happy with that.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, anymore, that's fine.
A lot of platinum runs have collectathons in them, and I've done a number of them. Lego games are very much like a collectathon.
Yeah.
You collect mini kits and blah, blah, studs, blah. Studs, golden bricks, red bricks, whatever.
Yeah.
In the Skywalker saga, there's something called Kyber bricks, and there's over 1,000.
Wow.
So I'm not doing that.
I haven't played the Skywalker saga version. I played the very first time round.
Yeah.
Played Lego Star Wars 1, which was the prequel trilogy.
Yeah.
And then Lego Star Wars 2, which is the original trilogy.
Yeah.
And they basically just put those two games together and released them as a Skywalker saga later on.
Yeah.
But I never played them as the Skywalker. So the first two Lego Star Wars games I played on GameCube.
Yeah.
And I think they were released on GameCube first time round, like before everything else. They eventually came to
PlayStation
2 and Xbox later down the line.
Yeah.
But the GameCube had the timed exclusive on those games.
Yeah.
And other than that, I've played, I think, the Indiana Jones one. Was that on 360?
360 and PS3, yeah. Indiana Jones, Lego Indiana Jones Adventures 1 and 2.
Right, I didn't play 2. Yeah. And that's pretty much all I've played of Lego games. But from what I remember, they're definitely more fun with someone else.
Well, it's definitely better playing with somebody than playing on your own. Like, I quite enjoyed playing Lego The Hobbit on my own. That was quite good. So that was a fun one on PS4. And Lego Lord of the Rings, that was on PS3.
Right.
I did enjoy those two, just because I like the source material.
Yeah.
Lego Jurassic World's pretty good. It's got the first three Jurassic Park movies, and it's got the first Jurassic World movie, I think, as well, because that's when it came out at the time, just after the first Jurassic World film came out.
Yeah.
That was fun. That was a fun one. And the Incredibles one was pretty good. I enjoyed that one. And the Marvel ones were good, really good as well. There were quite a few Marvel ones. They were quite good because you unlock so many Marvel characters. I normally just play as Iron Man, though, because you could just fly everywhere.
Trying to think, as well as Marvel, they've done DC, haven't they? Wasn't there was a DC Supervillains one?
Yeah, that was a good one. I enjoyed playing that one.
Apparently, that was the first one where they did voice acting.
Yes. Hang on a second. So they did voice acting for Lego Batman 3 was the first one they did voice acting for. Yeah, which was the one came out about 7 or 8 years ago now. Wow. And that was one that for voice acting, but that was the follow up was the DC Super Villains, which was actually I played that. I got the plan of 21. But yeah, the Lego games are good games, but they can get a bit samey. And this Lego Horizons one is not very interesting. I suppose they're classed as kids games, but
think anyone would blame you for sacking it off if you're not enjoying yourself.
Yeah, I will. I mean, I borrowed it. I haven't paid for it, so I will finish it and complete it. So we come to our last section, which is genres we like that have died off mainly. And this week it's shoot 'em ups.
Yep.
I remember playing a lot of R-Type and R-Type 2 on the Amiga.
Okay, yeah.
Pretty sure it was Amiga. Did it come to SNES? I'm not sure if it was on
SNES. It did.
Or not.
It did.
I definitely played the Amiga version. I may have played the SNES version.
The SNES versions are weird because the very first R-Type on SNES is like plagued with slowdown. Because it was the whole thing that the Super Nintendo had a better graphics chip and better sound than the Mega Drive, but the Mega Drive's got a faster processor.
Yeah.
So shoot 'em ups as a genre in general are supposed to be better on the Mega Drive.
Yeah.
R-Type is not the best version on SNES.
That's so why they had to put that Mode 7 chip in the cartridges, didn't they, for Star Fox and F-Zero.
So you've got the Super FX chip is what you're thinking of for Star Fox.
Super FX, that's it, yeah. Yeah.
Mode 7 is a thing that the SNES can do, which the original Mario Kart uses. Mario Kart uses, as well as F-Zero and a bunch of anything that needs like pseudo 3D on Super Nintendo, that it uses Mode 7. But the Super FX chip was the one you're thinking of they put in for Star Wing and a few other games. R-Type on the Super Nintendo, I think they skip R-Type 2 for some reason.
Yeah.
And then R-Type 3 is on the SNES as well,
yep.
But doesn't have any of the slowdown that the original game did.
No, I'm sure there was either a PS3 version or a PS4 version of R-Type as well, remade version of it, I think. Right. I don't know if I remember it seeing it on the store one time years ago, and I think, I'll go with that, and I never did. Mm. R-Type, I enjoy missing those kind of side-scrolling, you know, bullet hell shooters, if you want to call them that, but the shoot-em-ups at the time, the bullet hell. I never heard of a bullet hell game until like 5-10 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, I suppose you can class them as that, like Xenon and Xenon 2. They were like bullet hell shooters, I suppose. Mm-hmm. They were vertical ones, though, as opposed to side on. Yeah, which I do miss those types of games. Just because they were fun to play. You could pick up and play it for 5 minutes, or you could spend an hour playing it. You know what I mean? So, yeah. What about your one?
So the first shoot 'em up I remember playing was Xavius, and that was on the NES.
Mm-hmm.
So that's way, way back. But I think the one I spent the most time on was, again, on Super Nintendo, was Super Lest, which is probably better known to any American listeners, if we've got some, as Space Megaforce. And that's a vertical rather than side-to-side shooter. And it's also got different modes. Remember, there's a short game mode, which is only like 5 or 6 levels. So in theory, it's a lot easier to finish than the main game mode. I finished the main game mode because I could get about 5 or 6 levels in, but couldn't get to the end of it.
Yeah.
And weirdly, for a Super Nintendo game, isn't played with slowdown like a lot of them were. And again, like you say, you could play classes of bullet hell. There's an awful lot going on. But I did enjoy that a lot back in the day. I've got a Retron 5, which is like a console that plays classic games. It's supposed to like play like a multi-format classic game console thing that will play like original SNES, Mega Drive, NES, Master System, I think Game Boy games. It plays a bunch of them.
Mm-hmm.
And it will play all of my Super Nintendo games apart from Super Lest.
Oh.
Which is very frustrating.
Disappointing, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know why it won't play, but just won't load. The rest of them load fine, but that one is not having it. I mean, I have still got a Super Nintendo lying around somewhere. I really wanted to play that game super badly, but it of course won't plug into your modern TV, so I'll have to get the CRT out as well.
Yeah.
Put the Super Nintendo into.
Brush the cobwebs off it.
Yeah. It's sat in our spare room, not doing a lot these days.
Oh, I miss the old CRTs. I think the biggest CRT I ever had was the last one I had before I got my very first HDTV. Mm. It was a massive 32-inch Toshiba.
Nice.
Deep tube widescreen. Mm-hmm. It was my first ever widescreen TV. Nice. And I spent quite a bit of money on it. It came with its own cabinet that I had to put it on top of. It was really heavy, but it was such a good TV. Somebody bought it off me when I bought my first HDTV off him. I think originally I paid like 400 quid for it, which was a lot for a TV at the time.
Yeah,
I think I sold it for like 50 quid.
Nice. The CRT that I've still got that's sat in our spare room is like, I think it's 21 inch, and it did have a remote at one point, but the remote's long gone. I've lost it. So you can still, it's got buttons on it that you can still use if you've got the remote.
Yeah.
It's a bit frustrating that you have to, if you want to watch it as natural TV, well, if you could do these days, the TV you signal.
Probably, yeah, I don't think, how would you attach it? Because most of the old CRTs had SCART, RF, some of them had video in.
Yeah, like S-video or something like that.
Yeah, that's the only way you could really do it these days.
Yeah.
All HDMI, isn't it, these days?
Yeah.
That's, I wonder if what the next TV connection will be, like after HDMI, when HDMI becomes defunct, what's the next one going to be?
Oh, yeah, it's probably a little way away, yeah. Like,
yeah.
It might go anywhere anytime soon.
No, true.
Right. The only thing about shoot 'em ups I was going to say is that there was, do you ever play Ikaruga?
Ikaruga, that's ringing a bell.
So it was on Dreamcast. I played it on GameCube.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, again, one where you can swap back and forth between light and dark. And there was a, I'm trying to think what the thing was, because I haven't played it for young, because I haven't got it anymore. Didn't you do, I can't remember if you did more damage or you took more damage if you were the wrong color. You basically had to swap back and forth between light and dark.
As
you went through the levels.
Interesting idea, that, isn't it?
Yeah. It was also like the wrong way. Like, in theory, you were supposed to like tip your TV up.
Oh, right. So it was like vertical.
Yeah. But then it would knock your telly if you did that.
Of course it was. They're not designed to operate like that, are they?
I think there's a version you can play on the Switch where you're supposed to turn your Switch screen around and play with the Joy-Cons detached.
Wow.
Because it, again, goes the wrong.
Yeah.
You don't play it the normal way.
Interesting.
Mm.
Some crazy ideas back in the day.
Yeah, definitely.
That's what Nintendo are known for. Going back to Switch 2, reading some news reports about it and just listening to other podcasts, some people said, oh, it was just an upgraded Switch. I'm like, what's wrong with that?
There's
nothing wrong with that. Why are you complaining? What are you expecting to do? Like, go mad like they did with the Wii U, where they absolutely dropped the ball on that one. They're not going to make that mistake again.
No.
You know, it's an upgraded Switch. Fine with me. It plays Nintendo games better. It's got a bigger screen, better Joy-Cons. What's not to like? So there's always some people that are not going to be happy with what they do, though, are they?
Well, why do they always have to reinvent the wheel every single time?
They don't, do they?
No.
So, you know, it's a safe bet. More powerful Switch.
Yeah,
you know.
That's what everyone wants, really.
Yeah. I think they've done the right thing. And that brings us to the end of our show.
It does.
We've about an hour or so now, which is good. So we've got an email address now.
We have.
We have got an email address. Let me just get it on. It is 2guys3consoles, all written as text, at yahoo.com.
Yeah.
That's our email address.
It wouldn't let me, when I was setting it up, it wouldn't let me put it as numbers. You couldn't have your first character being a number.
It wouldn't let you do it as a number. That's weird.
No, your first character has to be a letter. And I tried it on a couple of different email providers, and they're all the same. So
that's
interesting. That's why it's in text.
You wouldn't think that would be a restriction these days, would you?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But we've also got an Instagram, which is 2guys3consoles, but that's with the numbers. So it's number 2guys3, number 3consoles is the handle for the Instagram.
Yep.
And then we've got a Blue Sky as well, which is the same.
Cool. So we're on Blue Sky, Instagram, and we've got an email address. Excellent.
Yes.
And we will be publishing this podcast once I've edited it and uploaded it.
Well, yeah, this will hopefully go up at the same time as episode one.
Yeah, well, we should be on Apple Podcasts and Spotify for definite. Right. Cool. There are a couple of others lesser well-known than that will be on as well.
Okay.
It's part and parcel of the sign-up service that we've got hosting our podcast, so you'll definitely be able to get us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, depending on how you access your podcast. We also will have a web page as well, we got it as part of the hosting deal. There's a web page not done any web page management for a long, long time, so we'll see where that goes. That is it for episode 2 of 2guys3consoles. Had a good chat today, haven't we?
Yeah.
So look forward to our next episode, and we'll see you on the next one. Bye. Yeah.
Bye.